Our first speaker this morning needs no introduction here. I'm going to introduce you anyway. Marvin Stoniker, pastor of Katy Baptist Church, has been here many times, every year for 4 or 5 years at least, haven't you? And he's such a dear friend of mine. And this congregation has had such a close fellowship with the believers at Katy for way longer than I've been alive. And we're just so thankful for that friendship. Marvin, we're thankful that you could come. Marvin's conference is next weekend. If you have a chance to go to Katy next weekend, they're having a conference there. And he's so busy getting ready for that conference, but he agreed to come preach for us this morning. So, Marvin, you come preach what the Lord's laid on your heart.
I'm so thankful to be here. I told your pastor that I dearly love, his sweet wife, all of you, how much truly I am appreciative that the Lord would allow me the privilege to be with you and truly the fellowship that we've had for so long. It's so precious. Thankful for Greg and Trish. Being able to preach with him. I've known Greg and Trish now a long time. I'm just thankful that we have today. We never have another day together. We have today, don't we? I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Glorious, God-inspired passage of Scripture concerning the love between the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride. Beautiful. I pray the Lord bless it to our hearts today. And may we truly learn. I want to be taught today. I want the Lord to teach me something. I need to hear. I need to hear. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I'd like to look at verses 2 to 8. And the bride is going to begin speaking. She's going to say something that every believer knows. This is a fact right here. She says, starting in verse 2, she says, I sleep. Now, I want you to notice something. She knows it. She's aware of it. I sleep. This is, a believer doesn't deny this, but this is an admittance by the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ of the reality of the effects of sin that dwells within. She knows that there's a body of sin that is within her. That's what Paul the Apostle, oh, who shall deliver me from this? This body of sin that causes her to recognize the laxness and the carelessness and the slothfulness toward the Lord. She knows it. She's aware. She's not excusing it. What she's saying is, I realize that there is an unbecoming attitude. In me, I know, I see an indifference that's in me toward the Lord, who I know is altogether gracious. I sleep. And it's a state to which we continually need to be aroused. Now listen to this, Ephesians 5. I'll read this to you, verses 14 to 16. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Awake. I wanted to know, Greg, I want to know, what do those words mean? Awake. I know that a believer, spiritually, one dead in trespasses and sins before he's a believer. I know he doesn't have the ability to wake himself up spiritually. I know that. I know Almighty God's going to have to do something for me that I can't do for myself. I know that. So what is he saying? Awake, thou that sleepest. Awake to the inactivity that you, by that new man, knows is right. Awake. Wake up. Wake. Arise from the dead. That sleepiness, that indifference. See that you walk circumspectly. Be diligent. Be diligent in your walk. Not as fools, redeeming the time. Make wise use of it. I'm so thankful that we have right now. I'd hate to know, Wayne, that I saw fit to do something other than. I'm so thankful that I want to be here. I want to be. Glad. I read something Brother Henry said one time. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. He said, I'm so glad I wanted to come. This is written to a believer. To be constant. To be needfully revived. Awakened, rebuked from the indifference. I sleep. Let's just go ahead and be honest with you. Right now. Wake up. Marvin, wake up. Your mind drifted. What was I thinking about? I know tomorrow I've got stuff to do. I wish I'd have done that yesterday. I should have taken care of that. I know I should have. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. I sleep. How many times have I just drifted away? This is a dangerous state. Dangerous. Listen to the danger of this state. Now, this is the Lord speaking. Matthew 13:24-25, another parable. Put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his ways. There's repercussions to it. While men slept, I sleep, is what she's saying. But then she says back in verse 2, but my heart waketh. It's alert. Now this is a paradox. I'm asleep and I'm alert. Now you that believe, you know what I'm talking about. You know that you're awake. But you know that you find yourself sleeping. Spiritual life is there. Let me tell you a word of encouragement. I need one right now because, look, I'm guilty. This is a word of hope. There's grace in the heart when the heart is found struggling against sluggishness. When you find the awareness there, I sleep, but my heart's awake. Let me ask you this. How do I know that mine is? I know the Scripture says for a believer it is. But how do I know that I'm awake? She says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. How do you know, bride? It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. A believer hears the voice of her beloved. This is how I knew that I was sleeping. This is how I knew that I was awake. The Scripture says concerning the Lord's word, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. The bride knows the voice of the Master. She hears His voice right now. Let me tell you what you're listening for right now. I want to hear the voice of the Shepherd. I want to hear Him tell me afresh. Remind me, dear Shepherd, of my sleep. Oh, but precious Lord, remind me afresh of being awake and hearing Your precious Word. In the preaching of the gospel, God's people hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear the voice of the Shepherd in the workings of providence. You see, I'm where I am by the grace of God, that I am wanting to be here, listening as the Spirit of God gives me some understanding, and as I witness and hear His voice in the quiet place of my closet. My sheep hear my voice. And God's people know that. They agree. And what does the bride hear Him say? Now listen to what He says. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Let me ask you, does He not say to His people, throw yourself open to me? Open to me, my sister. You who are adopted by me unto the Father, my sister, Him being made flesh, our association with Him. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. And for Him to say to me, you're mine. I was made like unto my brethren, yet without sin. Open to me, my sister, my love, you who have always been the objects of my affection. There's never been a time, never, never, never. My love, my dove. You know how many times a dove's, you know, mate? One time for life. One time. The dove. He says, you're my dove. You who have found yourself by grace and regeneration, faithful and harmless to me, Lord, can that be so, that you say that concerning me? You would refer to me as your dove? Faithful, faithful. I love watching doves, don't you? They're just so wonderful to each other. My undefiled, being robed in my righteousness, open to me. Open. He said, for my head's filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. You know, I thought of another reference. There was a man named Nebuchadnezzar. And he stepped out on his porch one night there in Babylon. And he said, look at this great Babylon that I've built. And while the words were in his mouth, God Almighty took his mind away from him. And they put him out to the field. Years and years and years he stayed out there with the dew on his head. He's just out there. You know, hair grows long, like eagle's feathers. What is the Lord saying to his beloved? He said, my head's filled with the dew, my locks with the drops of the night. Speaking in the terms of our understanding concerning his humiliation. God humiliated Nebuchadnezzar. Put him out there. Left him there till the Lord saw fit. The Lord humbled himself. speaking unto her. How blessed do we observe the unchangeable love of the Lord Jesus Christ toward His bride. Open to me. But I want you to, while He's speaking so tenderly and so kindly, listen to the answer to the bride in verse 3. I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? I put off my coat. Well, I know this, not the garment of His righteousness. I know this, you'll never put that off. You robe the... But the bride is saying, admitting, she's more concerned with herself, with her rest, with her comfort, than His presence. I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? I'll tell you something that I read. When I read that, I got to thinking about that just, I thought, now I'm going to tell you something. Here's a bad attitude. It's still there because of the presence of sin. You remember when the Lord washed His disciples' feet? Peter said, well, you're not going to wash my feet. He said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. You're clean. You're clean. But I'll tell you this, we pick up the defilement in this world. And He cleanseth us and cleanseth us, washing us, washing. She said, I've washed my own feet. How shall I defile them? Here He is, knocking, saying, open to me. Open to me, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Let me ask you this. What would you think, wives, if you're her husband, one or the other, if you've already laid down for the night, what would you think if you came home one night and, Janet, you're already in bed. Janet, honey, would you open the door? I've already laid down for the evening. I'm sorry. I'm thinking. I've already washed my feet, Frank. I can't get up. What ingratitude. What hypocrisy. I love the Lord. Really? Yes, you do. You that know Him, yes, you do. But I sleep. And what a frivolous excuse. He who has ever stood as the surety of His people, came into this world, the servant of Jehovah, earned by His obedience righteousness that is imputed with His people, believing Him. He laid down His life a ransom for the sheep and speaks with tenderness and compassion, and we respond. I'm like, old Newton, you know, disappoint, I long to know, can I deem myself a child? Acting like, what? Would I so foolishly deny that I find myself with these two attitudes? I sleep, my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved saying, open to me. I've already taken my coat off and washed my feet. But in the midst of such disrespect, let us consider for just a moment the mercy of the One who has promised. Now listen to this. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. What happens? Verse I know He had knocked, and I know I heard Him, because she said, it is the voice of my beloved. I know it is. The Scripture says in verse 4, my beloved put in His hand by the hold of the door, and my bowels were moved for Him. She says, I've taken off my coat. I just can't get up. Wash my feet. I don't want to get them defiled. He who hath thankfully not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. The one who has eternally stood as the surety of his people and would not leave us to ourselves, put his hand, sovereign power, by the hole of the door. He just opened and revived her heart that hurt him, and moved upon her in power and grace and mercy. There's a lot of people that hear the gospel preached. Hold your place. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 and 5. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 and 5. She heard him speak. She gave him a flimsy excuse. And we all do. But listen, here's the evidence of the Lord taking his hand and putting his hand in the hole of the door. And her bowels moving for him. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 4 and 5. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. What happened? She gave him an excuse. And we're all guilty. So let's just don't get up on your high horse and just think, well, I'll tell you what, I just don't believe that. Oh, you did. Well, yes, you did. Yes, you did. Let's just go ahead and be honest about it. And he comes in mercy and puts his hand in the hole of the door. Comes to his people in power and mercy. And they cannot resist him now. Not now. Our gospel came not in word only, but in power. A couple of fellows walking on the road to Emmaus one day, and the Lord came beside them, talking to them. Basically, he said, what are you talking about? They said, well, you must not be from around here. It's concerning Jesus of Nazareth. We were sure that he was the promised one. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all of the prophets, the scriptures, beginning with Moses. All the prophets he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, Gary, those things concerning himself. And they listened to him for a while. And they heard him. Oh, it's getting late today. Won't you come on in and have a bite with us? He sat down, the scripture says, and he took bread. And he broke it. They'd seen that before. They'd seen those hands before. And when he broke bread, the scripture says their eyes were opened. They were open to the scriptures. He vanished. One of them said, didn't our heart burn within us as he opened unto us the scriptures? Friend, I can tell you this. It's like that prodigal that came to himself. There's times that you've heard the gospel being preached, but all of a sudden, puts his hand by the hole of the door and the Spirit of God blesses it to you and your heart just, you know. That's what she said. She said, my beloved put his hand by the hole of the door. I'd given him some flimsy excuse by grace and mercy. He who would not leave me to myself. And she said, my heart was just moved. My bowels were moved for him. For him. All of a sudden, she finds herself. And she admits now, "Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. You're the Lord my God." You can write this down. If our heart is turned and moved for Him, it's because He put His hand in at the hole of the door. Then she said in verse 5 and 6, "I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer." You know, here's now the bride. She's revived. Her vows have moved. Her heart is just alive, and she desires now to do what she was sleeping through. And she knew it. She rose to open. And now she smells something of the savor of His mercy. "I rose up and my hands dropped with myrrh," and sweet smelling myrrh. There's now by faith, new desire. She goes forth to embrace Him. Her hands, she's dripping is what it said. "Open to my beloved, my hands dropped." It means dripping with. They dripped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. That He had just put His hand through the hole of the door of, and it touched and ignited her heart. And where did that myrrh, what is she smelling? What is she smelling? Well, just look back at verse 1, chapter 5. "I'm coming to my garden." She just asked Him, the latter part of verse 16 of chapter 4, "Let my beloved come into his garden, eat his pleasant fruits." And He says, "I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved." What has happened? Well, what He's done is He's gathered. He says, "I've gathered my myrrh with my spice." He's gathered. Actually, what He's done, He's gathered the precious fruit, spiritually speaking, of God's Spirit produced in His people. That fruit produced by His Spirit, and He's delighted in it. And now we find the scent of that which He's gathered in verse 1, and He's stuck it. He said, "I gathered, and I put my hand in the lock and opened up." And she said, when she came and opened up, touched the door and opened it up, now she smells it. You know what she's doing? There's a remembrance now of that mercy that He'd shown her. She smells it. She smells the fragrance of His presence. And she knows, as she smells that precious graciousness, she remembers. She opens the door and she thinks that He's still there. She can't find Him. And that precious fellowship that she thought would always be available at her choosing, He'll always be there. He'll always be there. Well, thanks be unto God. He said, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." But I'll tell you this, there's times that He'll withdraw the realization. Maurice Montgomery told me this. I probably told you this. He told me this one time. And he said, "Marvin," he said, "the Lord may allow a man to be put out on a limb for a while and God make him think He's going to leave him there." He said, "I tell you what, you'll wake up then." He said, you let the Lord put you out somewhere and make Him think He's going to abandon you. He said, "I tell you what, you'll see it differently." Yeah, that's right. He has wisely, she came and rose to open her hands now. She can smell. You that know him, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you have a remembrance of his mercy and grace. You have a remembrance of our sleepiness and our ingratitude. I know this. He wisely holds her eyes from beholding him, and her soul, she says, failed. Her soul failed. She remembers. She remembers. Hold your place there. Luke 22:55. Luke 22. She remembers. She remembers his word. She remembers what he said, open to me. She remembers her attitude. No better passage to me. Luke 22, starting in verse 55. No better passage of being able to remember and having your soul just fail. The scripture says, "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them, and a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he, that is Peter, denied him, saying, woman, I know not. After a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. About the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him. For he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I read that passage of Scripture, and I think when the Lord just looked at him, and Peter's heart failed. I remember. Oh, that the Lord might not leave me to myself. She said, latter part of verse 6, I called him, but he gave me no answer. Oh, the pain of silence. Not that he didn't hear. I know he hears, but the Lord deemed best to prove the bride's faith. She believes him. He proved her faith by mercifully delaying. How often do we find ourselves in need of a delay? Oh, but how he quickens our desires for him. We find ourselves knocking and asking and seeking. And I'll read that passage of Scripture and seeking the Lord's direction. He said, knock. It'll be open. Seek. You're going to find. Ask. He'll be giving you. I think, Lord, I've knocked. I've sought, I've asked, and I don't know. What do? Knock and seek and ask. According to his word, he will manifest himself. And his tarrying is not because prayers of his people are not heard or accepted in Christ. But his wise delays, according to his sovereign pleasure, will to give us according to his good pleasure. I tell you, if he's pleased to exercise our faith, causing us to learn patience, he's doing what he will with his own, is he not? Bought with a price. Who am I? What right does a pot have to say to the potter, are you making me wait? I deserve to wait. I was the one that was sleeping. I was the one that gave the flimsy excuses. Beggars are not choosers, and we do not dictate to Him the time, the place, or the manner of His answering. Lord, have mercy upon me. Oh, but let us remember to not consider His delays in prayer as being a denial to answer. Our flesh and Satan, this world, are going to try to shake our confidence in our Lord. I'll tell myself this. He's not going to answer. That's not what He said. That's not what He's saying. Back to Solomon now, verse 7. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. Here, the bride encounters faithful preachers of the gospel. These watchmen that watch for the souls of God's people. They're going to be honest. They'll be honest with you. John, I just can't tell us that we're just all good. We're all just so faithful and we never deviate. These watchmen that went about, they found me, they smote me, they wounded me. How? They told me the truth. They told me the truth. I had an uncle one time, Louisiana, and he sat a few times under the gospel. Came a few times. And he got mad. And he came up to me and he said, I'm not coming back. I said, why? He said, he told me I was a sinner. He said, I'm not a sinner. I said, Bill, yeah, we are. No, not me. I'm not coming back. You that believe, you see yourself a sinner? You know, the Apostle Paul says, of whom I'm chief, God's people, they want God's preachers to be honest with them. Went about the street. I need rebuke. Look at verse 16 of the 4th chapter of Song of Solomon. Here's the Lord speaking concerning His Spirit. Awake, O north wind, come thou south. Come, Holy Spirit, in the north wind of conviction and the warm south wind of comfort. Come thou north wind. Wake south and blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. I need the Lord to show me myself. Oh, but don't leave me comfortless. Tell me again. Remind me. Tell me one more time. I want to hear. Tell me one more time how the Lord put away my guilt. Tell me one more time. When I'm lying, Lord, please allow me to lie on my deathbed and lay there and think about it. Tell me one more time. Tell me, you'll never leave me. You're not going to deal with me after my sins and iniquities. You're not going to deal with me like that. Tell me one more time how you've always loved me. Tell me one more time how you put away my guilt. Just one more time. If I leave this world right now, what else matters but the comfort of the wounds of the gospel and the blessing of the truth of God's mercy to me? Faithful preachers are not going to allow God's people to hide behind the veil. That's what it said. It said in verse, you see, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil. You're not going to hide behind flimsy excuses. Then she said in closing, verse 8, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I'm sick of love. These daughters of Jerusalem, the bride here, now is talking to somebody. And, you know, I've wondered a whole lot about who is that. Now, the bride is talking to somebody. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I'm sick of love. Now, I know what the bride has done. She's admitted something to the daughters of Jerusalem. She said something to them. You tell him, you tell my beloved, I'm in love with him. And she's quite aware of what she's done. She's quite aware. You know, her bowels have been moved for him. And she comes to these daughters of Jerusalem. Now, what I want to know is this. What does the Holy Spirit say about who they are? The bride is talking to her. He's talking to somebody. Well, turn back to, hold your place there. Turn back to chapter 2, Song of Solomon 2, 2. Song of Solomon 2, 2. Here's what Scripture says. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Okay. Well, tell me this. As my beloved, she's a lily among the thorns. As the lily among the thorns, so is my beloved among the daughters. Well, what kind of speech do the daughters of Jerusalem, how do they talk? You know, out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. You want to know what a man believes, a woman believes? Just give them a little time. They'll tell you in just a second. Just listen to what they're saying. What does the daughters of Jerusalem, what did they say? What is their reaction? I heard what the bride said to her. What did they say? Well, back in, you know, as we close, you tell him, verse 8, that I am sick of love. Now listen to the response of the daughters of Jerusalem. Listen to what the daughters say. Verse 9, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? Now here's the daughters of Jerusalem saying something back to the bride. And she acknowledges who the bride is. O thou fairest among women. What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? And then the bride answers, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are like the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, and sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, oh, when he speaks, he's altogether lovely. He is my beloved. And this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. And the daughters of Jerusalem says, whether is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whether is thy beloved turned aside that we may seek him with thee? You know what the daughters are saying? We don't know him. Where is he? You had to describe him to me. We don't know who he is. You tell me about him that I can seek him with you. Based upon what she says, out of the abundance of her heart. You know what she's saying? Now listen to me. The bride is speaking to her concerning her beloved. And what the bride is doing is she's talking to these daughters of Jerusalem as they are, in her mind, believers. But when the daughters of Jerusalem speak, the Spirit of God has been pleased to reveal something to us. They don't know Him. There's always tares among the wheat. And the bride is not one that is capable of perceiving. We all sit here together, and based upon our acknowledgement of what we believe, we listen to what people say and we accept them upon their profession. But only the Lord knows the heart. You remember, in closing, in Matthew 13, there was a parable that the Lord gave. It was chapter 13, verse 25. It said, verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. You let them both grow together. Till the harvest, in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. You know, the bride was speaking to who she believed was the church. She was speaking to herself. That's what the Spirit of God revealed. The daughters didn't have the speech of a believer. A believer speaks of Him and loving Him. The daughters of Jerusalem, if she was truly the bride, she'd be speaking just like the bride. She'd be saying, this is what I believe. I know you. Let me tell you this. We're in this world, and the Spirit of God has revealed that it's only by the grace of God that we believe. It's the easiest thing in the world to look at someone else and say, I don't think he's a believer. How do you know? You just... A believer is one that the Lord knows Himself. They're going to have the speech of a believer. They're going to talk like a believer. But I don't know a man's heart. The bride herself loves Him and speaks respectfully of Him. Why are they there? And this is it. Why are they there? 1 Corinthians 11:9. 1 Corinthians 11:9. I'm sorry, 11:19. I said 11:9. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. The bride is speaking to who she believes is the bride. The daughters of Jerusalem, who the Lord has revealed in this scripture to be among the sheep, are there that the sheep might be made manifest. The bride is the one whose heart breaks for the Lord Himself when He revives her. The daughters of Jerusalem, who is among her, don't know Him. But I'll tell you what that the daughters are doing. They're manifesting the sheep. I pray that this day the Lord might be pleased to manifest Himself to us, that we might look to Him, not worrying about separating the sheep from the goats. Oh, that I might know Him for Christ's sake.